Welcome to The Peg Doesn't Fit, the podcast that brings you the change makers in education. Tune in to hear from educational leaders who aren't content with the status quo educational model and are blazing their own path. Welcome, everybody, to The Peg Doesn't Fit. Today, we have David Buck from Howard Community College in Maryland, correct?
That is.
He drew my attention with some of the things he's been posting on Twitter, specifically about ungrading. And so we're going to talk with him about that a little bit today and find out what got him into that whole business of ungrading and more, and maybe hash out a few other things here, too. So welcome to the show.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
All right. Well, let's start with my standard question. What has been your educational career path? So what brought you from maybe, let's say, 18 years old till today?
Got it. I'm the youngest of eight kids. My father was a minister for 42 years. He thought the four boys he had would go into the family business. I realized that the ministry is not fit for someone who likes to sin, and it's not very, a very good person. So I always say that English saved me. So I went 4 years to a school of theology, and then I went and did what I wanted to do. So I did my father a solid, and then I moved on to a major in English. So I got my master's in education. The goal was to become a high school English teacher. That was my goal. And I graduated from Temple University with a master's of education in English. And I sent out my resumes, and this was South Jersey, right outside of Philadelphia, saturated with English teachers, I guess. So I'd never got a job, but I got a gig adjuncting at two community colleges. And one of those community colleges actually hired me in 1999 as a full-time instructor. And that's been the icing on the cake, I say, from then on. So I taught at a community college in New Jersey for 8 years. Then I moved to where I am now, Maryland, to Howard Community College. I've been there here for about 14 years. So this is my 23rd year of teaching, believe it or not, which is just a blur. So that's how I come to where I am now.
Okay, excellent. So I'll ask it, I guess, a little bit more formally here. So I noticed you're into a lot of things that are outside educational status quo, which I love. Have you always been this way? Because I see things about open educational resources. I'm a big like Linux geek, and I like open source everything. So open educational practices I saw pop up, ungrading. I don't know. Have you always been this way, or when did you go, you know what? I want to go this.
I think it was intrinsic. Growing up in institutionalized religion, I always had an idea of questioning why things were, and so I always wanted to know what was the God in the machine. I wanted to know that. So I've always been kind of skeptical of institutions, and education is a wonderful thing to be skeptical about and ask those questions. So I've always were asking questions. Why? I think a lot of thing that drives me is the best for students. My motto for all my years is do no harm. And if you look at the exorbitant price of textbooks, that's a harm. So OER was right up my alley. Mm-hmm. I'm in English. Grading has done vast amount of harm to students, especially in their self-perception of themselves as writers, as intellectual beings. And so I question that, believe it or not, in a developmental writing course in 2014 is when I started ungrading. And seeing a developmental writing class and the harm that grading has done for them, I went ahead and just said, I'm getting rid of grades and I'm just going to go to personal conferences. So yeah, it's one of those things where I like to question, but I also want to make sure that I am honoring the system I'm in, the system that pays my, you know, my paychecks, that signs my paychecks. So I like to call it creative divergence, maybe creative radicalism, but working within the systems I find myself in to do better for students. That's kind of been the mantra that's kept me going.
Okay. Did you say an actual date? Like how many years into teaching? Or you said it's kind of always been this way, but
2014 is when I started. Okay. And most of your guests that talk about ungrading might go through this, where sure. I started with mastery-based grading, did a little mm-hmm. bit of standards-based grading. Okay. And to me, those things were on the iterations that led me to today, which is zero grading, except for the final grade that I'm contractually required to give mm-hmm. my students. Yeah.
How do you feel like your students have responded to this change?
Yeah, two things. One, one of my major emphases is reflection, metacognition. So I, every semester, get a quiverful of information from my students that I can use to prove that I'm on the right track for ungrading. So my students will respond in two ways. One, talking about the freedom that they have, the identification of not being judged or criticized, but they can actually develop a writing practice, a writing voice. Then I also have students who, for many years, they've been very good at playing the game of school. And the game of school has incentivized them to accumulate as many points to win the game.
Right.
Now some whack job is coming along and saying, I'm taking away that that anchor that you have in my class, and you're just going to reflect and self-assign your own grade. So to me, right. that has shaken a lot of students. Mm-hmm. And I've gotten better as I've gone along to kind of assuage those feelings of the world is collapsing around me, helping those students see we are still going to give you feedback, still work on your progress, but we're not going to do it with an arbitrary marker. That's a grade. Mm-hmm. And that's given comfort to those students who've that anchor had that cornerstone has been taken away from them.
Okay. I like that. It's fun because you've kind of shaken up the status quo for kids and on two ends of that spectrum, the ones that are left out and the ones that felt all too included.
And yes, exactly. Yeah. It's the marginalized and the privileged.
That's
both are going to. Yeah, they're both going to get hit by ungrading. And mm-hmm. I love that. I'm going to shake up both of those worlds. Yeah, because right. a lot of kids do come to my class and they've got all the resources they want. Mom and dad are paying for them to go to college. You know, they get tutors. And then you get the marginalized student who just doesn't have those resources, but they're all on a level playing field when you take away that grade and take away the point accumulation.
Sure. So you have an ungrading ed camp. What inspired you to create this and make this happen?
Yeah, so a little story. So I got onto Twitter in 2012, started following some really cool people, started the mastery-based learning, found teachers throwing out grades, #TTOG with Star Saxteen and I think Mark Barnes. I started joining those Twitter chats. And then I found Jesse Stommel and Laura Gibbs, and they started using the term ungrading. And then I started following that. So then comes along Susan Bloom, who comes out with a book called Ungrading. This was in a year ago, maybe. So okay. I threw out a tweet that said, why isn't someone getting a book club about this? Why don't we have chats about this?
Mm-hmm.
So some of my people that I follow, my connections, my PLN said, hey, so I set up a book club, a virtual book club. At the end of the book club, which lasted just this past spring, we had 628 people join the club.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So what we did is every month we'd have a chat where we talked about two chapters in the book. And then I invited the two authors of those chapters to a Zoom session every month. And these people, the ungrading community is a generous community. Mm-hmm. These authors were just so generous with their time and expertise. So we had this book club. It ended in June of this year, and I just felt a vacuum. I was like, man, I really missed that engagement. So I said mm-hmm. to myself, what's the best way to do this without a heavy load on me to organize? And it was an ed camp idea. I've done two ed camps face-to-face, the whole unconference model, no presentations, no agenda, participant-driven, beautiful. So I said to myself, why can't we do this online? So we came up with this headcamp that's coming up November 4th through 6th. And we have three ways of participation. I'm going to try out Twitter Spaces, which is that kind of like that conversation on Twitter where you have speakers. We're going to have Zoom sessions. And then we're going to have a slow chat on Discord. So people who'd like to just talk rather than just engage on a camera, they have. So there's three ways of communicating. So far, we have 343 people signed up for this EdCamp.
Wow.
So, and I told you this in a previous message. I like to throw stuff on the wall, Ryan. If it sticks, it sticks. If it fails, all right. I'm no worse for wear. So that's what we're going after. So
I love it.
Maybe it'll be an annual thing. I don't know. I would love it if it would be an annual thing. But anyway, we'll see.
You never know. What I really love about this, and it's where I feel like I'm still lacking. I guess I got this podcast, but I love seeing people that want to make change in education and they're doing something about it. And I, this is a perfect example of that. So I feel very inspired by you and your work. Let's see. So let's say somebody's like you and they want to start ungrading. What do you think? Where should they start?
Yeah, it's a great question, because I will have to say this as a caveat. Not everyone is in a professional situation where they have the freedom and autonomy to do this. So I get that. So let's get that out in the air right now. I am in a very, very privileged, fortunate situation where I have a lot of control over my courses and what I do in the classroom. Yeah. But if I were going to start, and or someone came to me and said, where do I begin? I would have, of course, have a slew of resources to give them. But let's just say practically the praxis side of ungrading, I would say there's a few things. One would be start the conversation about grades with your students. Ask them, how does grading make you feel? What do you think grading does for you in your learning? What do you get out of a grade when you're graded on a product or an exam? That's the first thing, because that's where that's your constituency group, right? It's the students. Right. So ask them about the role that grades have played in their lives. Second would be to start asking them to collaborate over the learning in the course. So many of our students, I love this Paulo Freire statement where he talks about students being objects rather than subjects. And it's that idea of giving students the agency and freedom to say, here's what we can peg as our learning goals for the course. So involve them in the learning of the course. When you get to grading to an assignment, maybe change your language a bit. Instead of requirement or submission deadline, invite them, encourage them to bring something to the table. And then when they do, ask them to reflect on it. What were you thinking about this? Or was this exercise meaningful for you? That serves two purposes. One, it helps them think about their thinking and their learning, but also gives me critical feedback about the usefulness, the meaningfulness of my content or my activities. Mm-hmm. That gives me a lot of pedagogical feedback for myself. And I would say then to allow students to be involved in the assessment process. And I would say to any teacher, this can be based on your comfortable level, your level of you know, comfort, but maybe even have them assign themselves part of the grade or even the whole grade. And then have you and the student negotiate that grade in a sense of, is there enough evidence that you've provided that you met that learning target or aim or goal? And that little shift, Ryan, I found gives students confidence, especially in a writing class. And I apologize. I have a liberal arts perspective here. I don't have the STEM perspective, but it gives them the confidence that yes, they have a voice. And yes, they do have the ability to have a say in what they've learned and whether or not the task was meaningful. Finally, trust. Jesse Stommel talks about trusting the students. I'm a big fan of his. I think that is key, because not only aligns the student to what they are doing, but it also aligns me, because I will admit to you today, I consistently have to deprogram myself to think in terms of grades, compliance, requirements, grades motivate students and all of that BS that I've thrown away, but it's in my brain. I've learned that way. Right. So trusting the students, I'm constantly saying to myself, that student may not just be ghosting you, David. Maybe there's a context where that student can't submit that work or can't work because they're taking care of someone with COVID or something. Yeah. I have to then assume the best. And that to me has really helped me. So I would say start small, maybe a unit, maybe a module, whatever you're doing, start small. You don't have to rip the tree out from the roots, start small, but also think about compassion and grace. Those are my guideposts for ungrading is a ton of compassion, a ton of grace, not only for my students, but for myself. Because there are times where I'm going to fail and I'm going to fall back on those. Right. And I have to forgive myself and say, you know, that this has been a years long thing for us. We're conditioned to think of grades as markers of excellence, as markers of self-worth. And we have to get out of that thinking.
Sure. Sure. Thank you. Oh, those are great building blocks, I'll call them. I like the compassion and grace because that allows you to take this risk. Because for a lot of teachers, they may want to do it, but it's scary to let yourself try.
Yep.
And then if, you know, it messes up and it's like, you know, first of all, everybody else that's not bought in is going to tell them it's not going to work. It's going to fail. And then it's, you know, how that goes.
Ryan, you know what I get a lot of? Rigor. It's the rigor question.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you're just giving out grades. All of your students are going to assign A's to themselves. And I say, first of all, number one, isn't that the purpose for every student to succeed in the course? Number one. And number two, don't stinking conflate rigor with good pedagogy. That's right. A straw man if I ever saw one. And that's what instructors do. Some of them pride themselves in grading tough because I'm holding the line in my course with the rigor. And that's just BS. And so instead of rigor, I think let's empower the students and they will reach the quality of the perception of their learning on their own. They don't need me as the taskmaster.
Right. Excellent. So what gets you most excited about education today?
Oh, geez. I would say, first of all, education has given me a life that I am so lucky to have, number one. And I realize that privilege. I realize that opportunity that I have. Number two, I think right now, I don't want to get political. I apologize. But if you think of what's going on in the world today, and when you see out in the world behavior of animosity, anger, all of these people who are committing these acts, behaving this way, once sat in a classroom, if you think about it.
Sure.
And so you say to yourselves, what the hell happened? Right. Like I fought and I bear that responsibility. So what gets me excited is the small sliver, the small opportunity, the chance to make a difference in my students' lives and for them to make a difference in my life. And so I always want to be the student along with the student. I want the student to be the teacher of me. Mm-hmm. And so that gets me excited. And where else, what other profession do you get to start over in a new year or renew yourself, rejuvenate? And I get it. You know, teachers get the short end a lot and it's a profession that doesn't pay well and all that business. But here's the thing with me is that teachers, at least with the ungrading community that I found, all have an intrinsic, the good ones, the intrinsic motivation to do no harm and to make a difference. And I think that's the guiding light for most of us. We're going to be okay. Education's going to be okay in the future. So,
very inspiring. Thank you. I'm curious, this is more some learning tips. So for our listeners that want to just learn from your own mental library here. a few questions about, because you said Twitter is your PD, but I'm thinking books, Twitter, people to follow, podcasts to follow. What kind of, just give maybe a book, a podcast, and a person that people can reach out to if they're interested in this whole ungrading journey.
Okay, so number one would be the Susan Bloom book, the edited book called Ungrading.
Okay.
That's the first one. There are a few other books that I don't want to be too liberal arts and writing based, but Asal Inouye from Arizona State University has a book, Anti-Racist Writing Assessment and Ecologies. Mm-hmm. That's free. That's open source. That's helped me understand. As far as pedagogy, I would love if I could recommend Paulo Freire's Pedagogy of the Oppressed and Bell Hooks' Teaching to Transgress. That, if you read those two books, along with Jesse Stommel and Sean Michael Morris's book, An Urgency of Teachers, that would be a good framework of this critical pedagogy, this idea of what Freire says, the becoming consciousness of a student, the emerging self of a student. So I would recommend those podcasts. I've got one podcast. It's called The Pedagogue. I think that's the Twitter handle. He's got some really good pedagogical minded podcasts. And then the Teachers Going Gradeless podcast. That's Arthur Chiaravelli and Aaron Blackwelder. They have a good podcast of and a blog of Teachers Going Gradeless. So that would be maybe the first thing I would start there. And then the Human Restoration Project has a good ungrading handbook as well. And I think they have a podcast too. I'm not sure. Sorry to rattle that off, Ryan, but those are the things
that are great. I'm typing as fast as I can.
Yeah, those are the things that come to my mind.
Okay.
And as far as if some of your listeners are in the writing space, I would definitely recommend John Warner's Why They Can't Write, Killing the Five Paragraph Essay and Other Necessities, John Warner. And that has been a wonderful book for me as far as a writing teacher to question the conventions of writing instruction and how wrong they are and how better we can be.
He says, Why They Can't Write, Killing Five Paragraph Essay.
Yes. And Other Necessities. Okay. I think that's the subtitle. Yeah. That's John Warner. So those are some of the books that have really affected me and my pedagogy.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's good. You're adding to my ungrading tool belt too. We had a guest a while back, David Frangiosa. He had written this book. Going Gradeless. It's not working on my fuzzy screen, but
yeah, that's fine.
Yeah. Great book. And it's so cool. Like I hadn't heard of this until a year ago. And now like you're revealing to me, like this world, this universe has been out there for a while.
Yes, I know. And if you think about it, there's a book. What'd You Get? The book is called What'd You Get?
Okay.
And it was written in the 70s by some Temple University professor about, And here I'll give you your listeners a way to look at it.
Okay.
One thing that came out of the Ungrading Virtual Book Club that we did was a crowdsourced open textbook. I opened it up on Pressbooks under a CC Creative Commons license.
Yeah.
And in that book, one of our participants, he wrote the foreword, the new foreword of the newest edition of What'd You Get? And that's in there. And I think I sent you the link, Ryan.
I have it open. Oh, wait.
Yeah.
Do I have to sign in order to read it? Because
no,
the only thing I can access is the front page, it looks like. Wait.
Can you go
I didn't press the plus button. I'm tech illiterate.
Sorry.
There we go. Oh, there's all kinds of good stuff in here.
All kinds of good stuff. And there's a chapter in there on the ungrading presentations. And I asked the ungrading community, send me your presentations under a CC license and I'll throw it into this book. So there's a lot of good introductory stuff for your listeners in that chapter as well. Sorry, I'm running all over the place, but that's
all right. Well, hey, that's why we have it recorded like this. People can go back and re-listen.
Yeah.
So I think you've essentially answered my Twitter as PD question or my thought, because there's all kinds of stuff out there. I didn't even, is this a TTOG hashtag still going around, the teachers throwing out grades?
I think that's been retired or went on to Facebook.
Now it's hashtag ungrading maybe.
Yeah, it's hashtag ungrading. And there's another hashtag teachers, TG2, Teachers Going Gradeless Chat, TG2 chat. And that's on Sundays, I think.
Okay.
Teachers going gradeless. So that's also very good PD opportunities. And like I said to you before, PD on Twitter is, that's where it's at, man. I mean, I know we all belong to institutions that have institutionalized PD, but let's be honest with ourselves. How many times have we done the sit and get for 50 minutes right, and then filled out the survey? It's bogus. So to me, this is the idea of individualized PD and a personal learning network that has helped me so much. And I know Twitter gets a bad rap for a lot of animosity there and some flaming and stuff. Sure. But as far as I'm concerned, the educators on Twitter are really a generous group. Mm-hmm. Great, great, great people to learn with.
For sure. And it reminds me of, I took a brief stint out of education and I got my master's in essentially Toyota methodology. It's an MBA in lean leadership. And one of the things that they impress upon people as leaders is to go, it's called going to Gemba, which is going to where the work is done. So one element that most directly means is like when your provost or whatever comes down to your classroom or whatever, but there's the other element of learning when you do this collective efficacy thing that you're talking about, which is I need to see how you're doing ungrading in another school, in a different setting, in a same school, but a different subject, like all of those ways where we can actually learn like the analogous connections and help learn from what does this same concept look like when it's applied differently? And so it's pretty powerful stuff.
Yeah, that's really cool. I like that idea because it gets rid of the middleman. You know, you don't need the middleman on that.
Yeah, you don't.
You need the other person with the boots on the ground to, I'm a big fan of praxis. You know, I understand theory and theory is wonderful. It's got uses, but to me, praxis is where it's at. Give me something I can do. And we're not talking about best practices that can be, you know, marginalizing, but I'm talking about the best practices for the context we find ourselves in. That's where it's at. That's exciting to me.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Well, let's see. My other questions are totally personal curiosity. Do you do anything with badging?
I know about badging. Our LMS does require, does have it and offer it. I've never done it in a class. I've never gamified that. Sure. It didn't fit my pedagogical approach.
Sure.
So I've never done
that. That works. And I want to ask my last one. It's about blockchain, which is funny because I don't think most people are into it, but I'm totally geeking out on like how you take individualized learning experiences. And blockchain technology, and I don't know if you've heard about it, is like the new infrastructure of the internet and all the data we interact with and how to make it secure for individuals. And
yes.
So, yeah.
The metaverse, right? Is that what you're talking about?
Oh, there you go. You got it. It is the metaverse.
I know just enough to add something to the conversation. Sure. I have no idea what that means, but I've heard about it.
Well, it's in the most extreme sense, it's kind of like the Ready Player One or WALL-E world, which is too much because that's where we sit at home and waste away and live in the virtual world.
Right.
But there's a lot of cool stuff that I think can come of it that is coming down the pike where, you know, you can take a badge. I earned this from Mr. Buck's classroom and it gave me, I earned a badge for it. It's not a grade. It just means I learned this skill. Sure. And the more I level it up, I can actually use that not only as a lifelong part of my resume, which is something we kind of already do in a different format, but metaverse wise, I could use that to exchange for a shield in a video game. Like I could say, hey, I have this badge. This gets me this shield in this game, or this buys me this sword or whatever those kind of things are in the digital gaming world. We can start to make transactional connections with the stuff you learn in school. And
interesting.
And that gets me really excited. So,
wow, that's incredible. That's really cool.
Yeah. It's a whole set of tokenomics that take the, you know, real world into the digital world.
Right.
Pretty exciting.
That is exciting. And it's exciting to disrupt the traditional educational spaces that probably will go, huh? If you ever presented that. Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Well, thank you for being on the show today. It was a pleasure to have you and hear your enthusiasm for ungrading, because the more people I have tell me about this, the more excited I get about it. It's sad for me that I didn't uncover this while I was in the classroom because I would have been applying it, but now I can hopefully help spread the love for the teachers that I support here in the education too. So thank you so much. And
thanks for the opportunity. All right. See ya.
See ya. Well, that was a fantastic episode with David Buck. If you get a chance, I'm going to put the links in the show notes, but his Ed Camp is going on right now as this is being released. I bet he would let you in kind of last second if you could, because it goes on today in the next couple days, November 4 to 6. And also I'm going to post the link to his ungrading open source book that he published. And you can always, I think you can submit your own things. So pretty awesome to connect with somebody that's pushing ahead, doing their own thing in the, not only using open source, but also figuring out new ways to connect people with the ungrading, let's call it trend, even though it's more than a trend, the ungrading philosophy in that movement, enacting it in class, teaching others, bringing it all together, and doing it in higher ed right now. But he shows that it doesn't happen to have to happen just in higher ed. So pretty awesome. Thank you, David Buck, again for being on the show. And next week, I'm going to dive into some more blockchain. But in the meantime, enjoy this episode and do some of your own research on blockchain or ungrading. Check these things out, and we'll talk to you next time.